Hi church, my name is Andy and this is week three of our Him Possible series. I'm so expectant of how God is going to use this series, and there's a reason. I'm marvelling at God's kindness, of His goodness, of us doing this series right now. A Him Possible series is all about looking into God breaking into impossible situations, looking and studying how He has done it in the past and looking at how He will do that in the future. This is all about us growing in faith that God can break into every and any situation and that He will use every and any situation for His glory. I'm marveling because when we planned this series, we had no idea that we would be 8 to 9 weeks into a lockdown scenario where there's loads of uncertainty about the future, there's loads of questions, there's loads of pain in our society, there's loads of, you know, difficulty going ahead, and there's a lot of anxiety about what the future holds. And when we planned this in September to do this series right now, we had no idea that this was going to happen. And that just tells me about the kind of God that we're going to teach on. It tells me of His kindness and His goodness. When me, Clive and Duncan got into a room and we planned out this idea of a series on the God of breakthrough, we had no idea that we'd be speaking into this moment now. But it's so relevant a topic. And I just see that God was in the room with us when we were coming up with our plans and purposes. God was speaking in as we made the plans that we've made. And I think that just talks of a God who draws close to us and prepares us in advance for things which are to come, and prepares us and gets us ready for things which are to come. And I marvel at His goodness at doing that, at His kindness of doing that. That small story is actually the story of our lives. It's the story of living in faith, that actually God is doing something marvelous in us, even when we don't really know what it's for or what it's going to talk into. And that's just a small testimony, but I think it just builds a faith in me of what this series is going to do for you and for me. I think we're going to hear talks from Hebrews 11 and the heroes of faith of the Old Testament, and how they heard God, how they were patiently waited on God, and how they saw a fulfillment of His promises in their day. And we're going to hear how God breaks into situations. And I think God is going to use it to ignite something of faith inside of you. I believe He's going to do a new thing and set you on new adventures of faith through this series. I'm really expecting that God has got us in this place listening to these preachers and talking about Him possible actions, because He wants us to grow in our faith and expectancy of Him breaking in. I really believe that God will speak to you in this situation through the individual talks that are to come. I believe that He's going to really speak into your lives. I believe that you'll hear things which will drop into your heart, which will propel you for things He has prepared in advance for you to do. And I can't say how expectant and excited I am for that. It's really, really exciting to think that that is what's going to come out of the back of that. So as we enter this series, let me just encourage you to listen and to grasp and to have faith that God is using this to do something amazing, that is going to do something amazing through you and in you. Let me just pray just before I talk. Father, I thank You that You have plans and purposes for each and every one of Your people. I thank You that we're caught up in You, Lord God, that we're caught up in Your vision to bring Your kingdom on earth, Lord Jesus, that we're caught up in Your plans and purposes. What an honor it is. When we think about who You are, when we think about the fact that You are holding this whole universe together by the power of Your word, when we think about the fact that You are the one enthroned in heaven on high, we just marvel at the fact that You would draw close to us and speak to us and catch us up in your amazing plans for this world. And we just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you draw close. Thank you, Jesus, that you're near to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you catch us up in your plans and purposes. And I just pray, Lord God, and we just say that now we're under your hand. We humble ourselves under your hand, Jesus, and just invite you to speak in. I invite you to speak into our lives, Lord Jesus. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to be prompting and nudging and doing something afresh to ignite vision and purpose for the goals and the works that you have marked out for us, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we submit ourselves to you, saying you are the Lord of our lives. We will follow you all the days of our lives. In your precious name, King Jesus, amen. Amen. So we are going to be going next week to characters from Hebrews 11. But when we were preparing, we thought actually Hebrews 11 is on the back of a foundation of Hebrews 1 to 10. So we wanted to just do 3 weeks of introduction to the series to lay a foundation and a grounding of faith. And I think 2 weeks ago, Duncan did a fantastic job of talking about the supremacy of Christ, how he is supremely above and beyond all other things, how nothing compares to him. He is the one that holds all things together. That's what it says in Hebrews 1. He holds everything together by the power of his word. That means if he speaks, it falls apart. And only when he speaks, it falls apart. He is the one who is worthy. He is the one who is enthroned in heaven. He is the one who is gloriously worthy of our praise and adoration. No one else has the goodness and kindness. No one else has reached down into this dark world to die on a cross for you. No one else deserves your adoration. And no one else is supreme like Jesus is. And then Clive came and he laid a foundation of growing in maturity of faith, and how he spoke about how God catches us up in his plans and we encounter him and he speaks to us and he challenges us, and then we have to act in obedience, and as we act in obedience we grow in maturity of faith. And it was so good to hear that actually this muscle of faith is developing and this maturity is coming out by our obedience to listening to God's word and being obedient to it. And that's a message of maturity. And then today I'm going to be speaking a little bit about the faithfulness of God to his promises. The faithfulness of God to his promises. And I'm going to come out of Hebrews 6. So I'm just going to read Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So this is talking to the Hebrews about how to have a sure and steadfast hope in a time of uncertainty. Did you hear the fact that this is addressed to those who had fled for refuge? Fled for refuge represents something of where we are today, does it not? That we're fleeing for refuge in our homes And it's a good thing, and it's not discouraged, but to be in our homes, we're fleeing for refuge. And God wants to say, this is how you have a sure and certain hope in these times. And he wants to talk to you about his promises and his character. It says in this verses that there's two unchangeable things. The two unchangeable things that it talks about is the fact that God's character is unchanging and that his promises are there for us. And those two things go together hand in hand, his character and his promises. You see, what Hebrews talks about a lot is this covenant relationship that he has with us, that God has with his people. You see, a covenant relationship is like a marriage relationship, where in a marriage setting, one person makes promises to the other person. And that person says, I promise to be faithful to you. I promise to love you. I promise to be good towards you. I promise to live for you all the days of my life, to love you until the death do us part or Christ returns. There's some of the promises that you say in the marriage relationship, and you both say it to each other. And that's what a covenant relationship is. Now, covenant just means promise. It just means that we're making promises. And God wants to say that he's made foundational promises to us. And there's only one reason that we can rely on those foundational promises. And it's because of the character of God. We can rely on those promises because of the character of God. So, like when people are making promises in marriage to be faithful and just and true to each other and kind to each other and love each other all the days of their lives, there is the reliability of that promise comes based on their character. So if they're a trustworthy character, a good character, then they're more likely to be true promises. And God wants to say to you that actually, if you look at my character, then you will know that my promises are steadfast and true. My promises to you in covenant are unchanging. They're not going to change. God is not like us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to just encourage you the fact that actually his promises are there towards you. And you can rely on those promises towards you because of his good, steadfast, unchanging nature. And because of his good, steadfast, unchanging nature, you can have assurance of the promises that he makes to you. And there's so much that you can delve into with the character of God. You can look at his goodness. You can look at his kindness. You can look at his joy. You can look at his unchangingness. You can look at his faithfulness, his loving nature. You can look at all of these different aspects of God and get to know the nature of God. And there's a reality that actually throughout all time, we are going to be getting to know the character of God. Throughout all eternity, when we stare and gaze upon him, there'll be new and fresh revelations constantly about his nature. But they will all be based on the fact that he's unchanging and that he's faithful. And that is so good and reliable to know. Like in a marriage relationship, if I know that person is faithful as a character, I believe what their promises are going to be towards me. And God says that's the relationship that you're in with me. You're in a relationship where I have made promises to you, and I, because of my character, will never go back on what those promises are. Now, all through Scripture, and you see this through Hebrews 1 to 10, God has made promises to his people and always lived in a covenant relationship. He's always put covenants in place. Now, there's two big covenants that are talked about, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But actually, through the Old Testament, there's more than one covenant promise that is made and more than one covenant relationship. But let's just talk about them in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So the Old Covenant is the promises made, and it's mainly gauged around Moses and Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given. And that is to enact a relationship of saying, this is how you live right under me. This is how you behave. If you behave well under these Ten Commandments, you obey them, then you will be held in this covenant relationship. And if you don't, this relationship will break. Hebrews is saying that actually the covenant that you live in today is far greater than the covenant of the Old Testament. There is a new covenant made through the blood of Jesus, a more reliable covenant that was made. Hebrews says that actually that the new covenant is far superior to the old covenant. And what it says is that it's based on better promises. It's based on the promise of Jesus dying on a cross for you so that you could have a restored relationship with God. Hebrews says that his blood speaks a better word over your life than any other thing. It tells us that actually God has made a promise through the dying of Jesus on a cross that he'll never leave you, never forsake you, that if you come to know Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you are in this covenant relationship. That is the sure and steadfast place that we need to be. We need to be in this knowledge that actually Jesus has died for us, and therefore that has changed everything about me now and everything eternally of me. That has transformed everything. That grace is something that we need to rely on, the grace that Jesus has died on me. I was not deserving of it. I did not earn it. I cannot rely on my own actions. I cannot rely on my own obedience. But the promise is that if I have faith in Jesus, then I will be forgiven, that I will have restored relationship with God. And that is the firm foundation on which we build our lives. That is the firm foundation of truth. That promise and covenant is the anchor for our souls. God has promised you that if you accept Jesus, you will have eternal life in him forevermore, that he will capture you up in his purposes forevermore. And it's not based on your emotions. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on how you act. It's not based on, you know, anything that you can do, the gifts that you have, the abilities that you have. It's not based on that. You cannot base anything on that. You cannot rely on those things. You can only rely on the fact that God has promised, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have eternity with me. You will be saved and added to his number, and you will never be lost or forsaken by him. That is the foundation of everything. And that is based on the fact that God is unchanging and that God is faithful. He is not going to change his mind towards you. If he has opened your eyes to who he is, you have that firm foundation of salvation. You have this firm foundation where you are saved forever and a day. That is the covenant promise towards you from God. The covenant promise towards you is that he loves you and that he has restored you and that all your sin has been paid for on the cross. Your relationship with him is restored because he has made this promise that is how he's going to restore us to him. And you can rely on that promise because he is faithful and he is unchanging. And he cannot lie. And he said it again and again in the Word of God, again and again in Scripture, again and again he said it. And he said that I will put a new heart inside of you. I will change you and transform you. I love the fact that that is from Jeremiah. So years before, God spoke actually of this covenant. And he said that this is going to come to pass when my son comes here to die for you, comes to earth to die for you. And now we're living in a time where we can know that Jesus has been here, he has died on a cross, he has risen again, and now we have a firm foundation in the new covenant promise that we have new life in him. And Hebrews 1 to 10 is saying, never slip from that. Never go back on that. Never go back to your works-based theology where you have to work in order to earn God's praise and favor. And never ever go back to that. Never go back to the legalism that is in the old covenant. I have got a better promise for you and over your life. And that is the foundation that is the anchor for your soul. So if you're feeling uncertain, let me encourage you just to go back to those early promises that you learned when you first came to faith, whether that was a long time ago or now. Meditate on the testimony that you have. When was the last time you reflected on your own testimony? You reflected on the fact that Jesus opened your eyes to who he was, that he added you in, that he adopted you as a son and a daughter. When was the last time you meditated on the fact that God loved you so much that he would die for you? When was the last time you spent any time reflecting on that? Because that is the firm foundation that secures you eternity. And it secures you a certain hope for the future. So in times of storms, in times of difficulty, in times of uncertainty, you have this firm foundation of a promise. A God who is a faithful and unchanging God has made promises to you. Now that is the foundation that we live on, and that we then start to think, wow, look how good God is. I want to live and change for him. I want to worship him and bring him glory. Part of the promise is this, and it's in Acts where he talks about this promise that actually Joel prophesied that the Spirit of God would come upon you, and that when he comes upon you, he would empower you to prophesy and to dream dreams and to have visions and to bring his kingdom to this world. Part of the promise is that you've been captured up in his plans and purposes. You've been captured up in God's purposes for this world. I want you to have faith that God has got you, that God has made you promises, that he is faithful and unchanging, that his character is for you. I just want you to believe right now that Jesus loves you so much, that he takes great delight in you, and that he's set this covenant relationship that is unchanging. Believe in the promises of God. Let that be your foundation. And then when you're not able to see, so it talks about Abraham not being able to see the things, but believing anyway. That's based on relying on the character and the promise of God. So even when you can't see the things that God has spoken over your life coming to pass, you need to rely on the character and the promises of God. You need to rely on the fact that he's a promise, covenant-keeping God. He's a way maker. And even if you can't see it, even if you can't feel it right now, he has plans and purposes for you, and he will bring them to pass. And he will be developing you and changing you and transforming you in this moment. Part of the reliance in an uncertain time, a reliance and anchor for your soul in God, is relying on the character. His character. His unchanging character. And I think just one point that came out, and one point that will come out in the weeks to come. He doesn't do things the same way every time. In fact, he tends to do things differently every time. So every character that we study, God seems to break in a new and fresh way. And I believe that God is going to be speaking to you about new and fresh ways that he wants to break in. I believe the stories give us a faith that God breaks in, but then it's a reliance and getting into his presence to really just say, okay, God, what do you have for me? What are your plans and purposes? God, I'm being caught up in you, and then just being purposeful and obedient to what he says. Let me just pray as we close. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you promised your son would come. I thank you that you promised that you would die on a cross for us. I thank you that you promised that that would buy us an eternal salvation in you, Lord Jesus. And I just want to give you a moment now. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that he knocks on the door. And I just feel if he's knocking on the door, that you can open the door and welcome him in. Jesus wants to come into your life. If you want to respond to salvation, to saying yes to Jesus, if the truth of his cross has hit you afresh, or for the first time, I just encourage you now just to invite Jesus into your life. But as you invite Jesus into your life, know, and know this, that he will take you on an adventure, and he'll lead you on, and he'll transform everything about your life. And I just pray, Jesus, now, I pray for everyone listening, I pray that fires be set in their hearts. I pray that their bones, Lord God, would be caught up into the very core of them, in the purpose and missions that you have for this world. Jesus, we humbly say, come and have your way. We humbly say, come and have your way, King Jesus. Come and have your way, King Jesus. In your precious name, Lord. Amen.